Hi, and welcome to the Live Kootenays Podcast. I am Tim. You'll notice the silence behind me, except for the creaking of this blue rocker. But there are no animals in here today, and I don't want to toot my own horn, nor do I often do such a thing, but let's just say there will be a couple of fewer hungry people in the Kootenays this holiday season. The mule and the chicken are out behind the shed, hanging and drying as we speak. It was not easy, but once Randy from Toaster bolt gunned those suckers down, and I managed to slice their throats wide open and bleed them dry on the dusty ground, it was a welcome skinning and learning butchering experience. You know, I feel a little bit more ready for World War III now. I just want to repeat that I'm no hero, I'm just doing my part. I recently popped into B-Side Record Shop and Trail and picked myself up Dance Mix 93. Finally found it. Airmail, I saw a local section there featuring records and CDs and tapes from local artists. And I noticed there were not enough local artists in there. There are a few more artists than six in the Kootenays. So I fully recommend dropping off a sampling of what you have so that more of us, that's all of us, are able to purchase these much sought after musical creations. B-Side is on that road, you know, that cool road leading up to Rosslyn that feels like an intersection between 1958, 1979, and 2006. That road's a trip. It's one worth taking. Today's guest, as I mentioned, is none other than Roger Swan. Roger is a producer. Not only that, he creates music, and he's just an awesome guy. And he's got this studio. It's in an old church that he's renovated and is still renovating. He's got Junos! A few of them. I'll tell you more. But he's produced, you know, Chaos, The Rascals, Swollen Members, many more, with Busta Rhymes, Devin Townsend, The Goat, some big names. So let's listen in now to a conversation with Roger Swan.
Hey, Roger, what do you call in the middle of a song?
Gee, I don't know.
So welcome to Hallowed Sound.
The Hallowed Sound.
Hallowed because it's a church?
Yeah, how Roger witty
Swan.
Is that?
Yeah. Is that how you came up with the name for it?
Yeah, man, I was like, it's kind of right under my nose, I guess. I was trying to figure out a name for almost a year, and nothing was sticking. I even asked tons of people online and stuff, and some cool suggestions, but nothing, you know, it just didn't seem right. And then literally one day I'm walking around, and it's like, bing, just popped in my head.
Hallowed Sound.
Hallowed Sound. I'm like, that's kind of cool. It's a sticky kind of thing, but it's whatever.
It's good.
Can't be too serious about it.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
It gives me that sense of serene, you know, when you hit a drum when there's a reverb in the back, like it's bouncing off walls, that's not hallowed. You know, it doesn't, when you go doom, and it sounds like it's right beside you, and clean.
Yeah, but in this big room, yeah, it's like, That's literally how the drum sounds in here.
So there's white ceiling tiles that were here prior. How much does that affect the sound in here?
You know the funny thing? So I've been doing all these weird upgrades through the years since I bought this place. And like, the nothing's insulated in here. So the power bill is crazy, like winter and summer, whether you're heating or cooling. You just walked in and probably saw I literally just tore the whole side of this building off.
Yeah.
And I'm currently insulating because it's turning into winter. So what better time to do it? Starting to rain and snow and shit. So let's do a huge outdoor project. That's kind of how I roll. But yeah, I feel like some of the acoustics benefit from the fact that it's not insulated in here. It's a weird thing, but if you get into nerdy acoustics and stuff, the more mass you have, the more sounds will reflect back into a room. And so having these empty wall cavities allows the sounds to really propagate and then leave the building, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and disturb all the neighbors.
They ever say anything?
Yeah. No.
No?
No.
They know.
Maybe once or twice.
They probably appreciate it. It probably has this sense of,
Some of them think it's cool. They're like, yeah, I stand out there and, you know, you guys are like making the rock and all that. It's kind of fun.
Making the rock.
Yeah. Love it.
For sure.
I wrote down a whole bunch of questions and it's going to be fairly random.
Okay.
Fairly random.
I'll see if I can roll with it.
All right. So wait, here's one. We're going to start it off with a real, real deep one.
Oh,
me and
shit.
My daughter's just watched Billy Madison. Have you seen that?
I thought you said we're going deep.
I know. And we watched Billy Madison and that scene. Did this ever happen to you? You know that scene where he's in the bathtub and he's like, stop looking at me, swan?
Oh, my God.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Stop looking at me, swan.
Stop looking at me, swan. Because that's been in my head since freaking when it came out, that movie.
There's this rapper from Vancouver, and he used to always say that shit every time he'd see me at a show or in the studio. Kiprios, and like, yeah, he's like, stop looking at me, Sean. And for a minute, I was like, what? What are you talking about? Why can't I look at you? And then I put two and two together, and it equaled Billy Madison in the bathtub.
Oh, I was hoping that would have ever happened to you, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not as often as you want. Usually it's more like, oh, Roger that or something like really fucking stupid. Yeah.
Boomer stuff.
I love that. That's
really I don't know what you'd call this level. This is like middle boomer, where it's the same as boomer, except it's younger. Right? Instead of being from the 70s, it's from the 2000s, I guess.
Yeah, for real.
So you've been producing music for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what started you in high school. Jersey on your journey?
Honestly, like, the nerd side of me, really, and just loving music. So in high school, I was playing drums in bands, and we were into like hip hop, punk and metal and all sorts of shit. And me and a buddy, we were really into computers, kind of early adopters of that shit. And we started like, we wanted to make like shit like, you know, I don't know, NWA and Public Enemy and stuff. So we were like buying samplers at the time and like, it was pretty funny. Actually, I was listening to the podcast, a little side segue thing, but you're interviewing Sean Michaud, and he's talking about financing gear from Long McQuaid when he was a kid. And I was laughing my face off because I did the same shit. And there's this dude named Ken who would come around if you're late for payments. And he was he was like the Long McQuaid muscle dude. And he would like come around and like, yeah, try knock on your door and shit. And he was hassling me all the time because I'm a kid. I was broke and stuff. And I remember at one point my parents were home and I was embarrassed. I'm like, I think I was gonna get in trouble and shit. My mom answers the door and is like, you're not even legally allowed to enter a contract with a minor. So what the fuck are you doing here? And never heard from him again. It was super dope because I still owed all this money on my drum kit and like samplers and shit.
Oh, your mom!
And yeah, she came through like a G.
Yeah, that is how to do it.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Just that's lawyer so business.
Yeah, yeah, it was super cool. So back to the question, sorry. I'm in high school, we're playing drums, we got samplers and stuff, and I know a bunch of kids that are like wanting to rap. And I'm the dude with the computer and the sampler, and so it was almost default kind of thing, like where I start making the beats, you know. I had a good understanding with playing drums and guitars and stuff. So yeah, I started making beats for these dudes. A lot of them turned out to get record deals really early on. Like, we're like right out of high school, and like, so the Rascals was one of those groups. Dreaded Fist of the Northwest. Swollen Members was another. Just feels right, that's when tracks come out tight. And a lot of like offshoots
of
those groups.
So this is
when
you're out of high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when those bands,
yeah,
they contacted you. Or were you friends with them already?
We were already kind of homies, like through writing graffiti and like skateboarding and different things. Yeah, just like, yeah.
That's
and,
really
like,
neat,
the
man.
The whole crew, like literally just like blew the fuck up in a small way. Not in a giant way, but like.
Well, for me, it was a big way. I was living out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had the records. I had the CDs.
It's so dope.
Rascals like, and Swollen Members.
And that's when CDs were a physical thing and they would sell. And like, yeah, we sold millions of copies and like got some Junos and shit. And yeah, like right out of the gate, pretty much. So that's kind of what jumped it all off.
So Dreaded Fist, was that you?
Oh, yeah. Lethal doses, leaves comatose kids. To match the fist, there is no equal to this.
Is that you?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your beat?
Well, it's Chemo. I'll give that one up to Chemo. But yeah. I was always kind of co-producing with him because, like,
it's such a beauty. There's so many. When you revisit Rascals, yeah, from here to there, from now, like, I listened to it then, and I'm, you know, you take a decade or two off, and you're like, was it as good? Because some isn't.
I know.
You go back and it's, oh, what did I like
and
that
you're like,
for?
Ew.
But I just went back, and man, Dreaded Fist got me right in the face. And the ones I, like, the two top ones, like, the ones I'd heard a lot, I still liked them. But the other ones just became really good.
Yeah.
Really, like,
I appreciate
innovative.
That.
And almost like you were friends out of, you know, in the beginning. Like, it was fun. It sounds, you know, or it has that original feel.
Dude, that's the best part, man. And, like, it's like always chasing that that first hit, if you know, if you refer to like drug addicts or something, and it's like that with music, and somehow I've managed to bottle it and still retain that feeling, and it's a special thing because, like, you know, we're talking decades later and mm-hmm. shit, but like
it holds up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, no. And to go back and listen to that shit, you're right. Like, sometimes I'll put something on and I'm like, ooh, is this going to be like cringy? And it's like, fuck, this still hits like so hard. Like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's I make
proud of it,
comedy
man.
Videos from 20 years ago. And I'm like, man, am I going to like, back then, I'm like, am I going to like this later?
Yeah.
And some I do, but some I wish it would never existed. Right. But
yeah.
Some is good, but it's that journey. Hey?
Yeah,
it's that fear of how was I like cringy back then? It's like, I was sometimes, yeah. Not all the time.
Yeah,
I have to give myself not all the time just to feel better. But
well, it wasn't all good. I mean, you kind of have a feeling when you're working on shit. You're like, this might not be a radio hit.
You do but, know that, hey? So like, what's
yeah,
one
sometimes.
Of the first? When did you know like this is really good? Like, what was that? Was there a moment like that?
Well, so a lot of that, those early records, we felt it was good, but like the industry was weird back then because like it was really dominated by like rock and shit and like just sort of a, I don't know if I want to go there, but like, yeah, just sort of Canadian industry was weird back in the day. It wasn't very accepting of like people of color, let's say, or like, you know, urban music per se. But.
Oh, out of Vancouver even.
Yeah,
when you look
all across Canada, you know what I mean? And like, yeah, to the point where they weren't like televising the Juno Awards, and like we had big hits on Much Music, like playing like every half an hour and shit. But like, they're not televising when we win a Juno. And so we literally turned down, or the Rascals turned down the first Juno they won, which was kind of dope.
That's even better than making a hit record. That's
yeah,
like
I
turning
think so.
Down
it's
an
a good
award.
Statement. And it really
statement.
Like, it pushed things, man. Like, because the next year, yeah, that shit was front and center on the televised, like, Juno, you know, awards.
It became that thing to look for.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's crazy to think
shit, man.
That it was new.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think now that it was like that in any way.
I know. It's a weird thing.
It's a weird thing. Are there any people you've produced who didn't get the acclaim, but you think were just as good as anyone else? Or maybe even deserves a bit more attention, even if it's right now that nobody's even heard
of.
Man,
that happens a lot, dude, like for various reasons. Like, you know, I'll, it's a weird thing. You'll find an artist that like doesn't have as much talent, but they got a shit ton of drive and they do really well versus like an artist that's so talented and anything they do is just like gold. But they might be like super flaky in other ways.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whether it's a showing up thing or like, you know, just not working with people well. I mean, Chaos was kind of that dude, except he had a really good career.
I tried it, I couldn't fight it. Now.
And we made amazing records, but like, I feel that guy should have been like kind of a worldwide
kind of
success.
He was huge here for maybe 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Right? Like, probably the top hip-hop guy in Canada.
Yeah, but you
and
know
his
own
song
personal
bang.
What's that?
His tune, the ones he produced.
Oh yeah,
they're really good.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Did you ever get any play down anywhere else except Canada?
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, a lot of the groups I just mentioned, like they all got down across the border, you know, and over in Europe and stuff. So yeah, they got some love. It was cool. I do wonder, you know, like nowadays, because again, like I feel we were breaking a lot of barriers back then, I feel like nowadays they might have done even better, but who's to say? Mm-hmm. It's such a different landscape as far as like the industry now.
That's one of my questions coming up.
Yeah.
But my other one is here is how many Junos is the right number to have? Are you satisfied?
I feel...
How many do you have?
I have 9 that I feel legitimately connected to. There's a few others where I would record maybe a couple verses on a song for an album type of deal. But like, yeah. Yeah, I got like a handfuls.
Couple handfuls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
If anyone doesn't know what a Juno Award is, you can look it up.
Yeah, Google it.
It's better than a Grammy.
Whoa, 10 times.
Ten times.
Yeah.
Just even the sleekness of it. Who do you look for inspiration? Or did it just come out of you?
Man, inspiration comes like from everywhere and everyone I work with. Like, I just want to see people that are excited. You know, if they're stoked on making a record or playing a show, that to me, I don't know, that energy is like infectious and it's like, that's the best shit. I was an instructor at a college for almost 10 years in Vancouver and doing the whole production music thing. And like that honestly like lit another fire under me. It was so sick to see a lot of younger people coming through and just like, yeah, again, like seeing that same drive that I initially had when I was young and stuff. And like, yeah.
Inspiring.
I love that shit, dude. Yeah. I'm like a sponge for it. Like,
yeah, if you're teaching too, you can probably spot them pretty quick after a while.
Yeah.
Like who's going to keep going after they
find out? Like, yeah, they're not like perfect. You, it's crazy. Like there's certain people that were in that school. I'm like, you don't even need to be here. You're already there. Like,
you're there, man.
Kind of. They're like, fuck. You tell me that now. I'm paying all my student loans off. But
yeah, yeah. You shouldn't have come here, man. You were good enough to begin with, but thanks for the money. Thanks for the seat.
Wow, there's a lot to draw from with those, what we were teaching at the time.
Who is this podcast brought to you by?
Brought to you by Hallowed Sound.
Brought to you by Hallowed Sound.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to Hallowed Sound.
I'm here to record my single.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All set right over there.
Good, because everyone says, this is what they say. Lorraine, your voice is so amazing. We wish you could sing forever. We wish that you sat on the top of mountains. And then the echo would just go into every valley in the whole wide world, make everyone so happy. All the kittens purr at the same time. Can you imagine the noise? That's what they say. So I don't want anything muddying up my voice. Do you understand?
Yep. Looking forward to hearing it.
I bet you are. Hey, do you know what angels sound like?
No.
He will.
All right.
This is my husband, Jerry. He's going to keep time on his little drum machine, okay?
Yep.
And he's also going to do some background, so you're going to have extra work with that. He's not the best, but he tries. He's not nearly as good as I am.
Well, you know what we can do first is just check some levels, and I'll do a little recording.
Oh, you want to?
Yeah.
Okay, we want to test it and see what you're working with. Okay.
Let's see what we're dealing with here.
Okay, Jerry, I'm just gonna holler one out, okay? So he knows what he's dealing with. Okay, just hit it.
Wow. That's great stuff.
Okay, let's see what you can do with that, okay? Jerry, stop.
It's good. Let me just stop. See Jerry. What I can do here. Jerry, just give me one sec. Okay. Let me try this. And this. Okay, a little bit. Okay, here. All right. All right. Here we go. Have a listen.
Not too bad. Doesn't really sound like me. Can we do it again?
Hallowed Sound Studios, your premier recording destination of the Kootenays.
How did you end up here then? You just said that's enough of the city in Vancouver?
Man, timing was good. So, like, in my early 20s, we passed through on a tour with the Rascals, and I just, out of all the towns across, like, Canada and shit, I was like, Nelson really stands out, and it's really vibey and cool. And I don't know why, but when I was in my 20s, I'm like, I'm going to move here when I'm older. I'm going to get a spot here because I love it. You know, it's got, like, skiing and, well, snowboarding, all that shit, and mountains. You know, I'm into dirt biking and stuff. It's got the lakes. It's just a beautiful place. And the vibe was so sick. Fast forward, like, a couple decades, and, like, I come back here playing with a little punk group I was in, Old Man Strength. And, yeah, my partner was, like, thought it was really sick too, and started looking at properties, and we found this place, and it's just such a rare opportunity to have, like, you know, like, there's a couple buildings on this property, so one was the hall, one was a church. It was super cheap. You know, we were dealing with a mortgage in Vancouver at the time, and it's like, you know, I don't know if the music industry, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, it's not like the most, like, guaranteed thing. You might make some money here and
there. It's not like someone's going to say, hey, here's your paycheck forever.
Yeah.
Not many people get to that level. Here's your forever paycheck.
Right? So, yeah, it seemed like a smart kind of move at the time. Like, I already done so much in the city and, like, worked in LA and Toronto and all sorts of places. And, yeah, I'm like, I'm good. Like, I think it's time. Head to the mountains and just, like, start something new. And yeah, it was scary, to be honest. Like, it's like, I'm going to start a big, huge studio in Nelson, and I have no idea how that's going to turn out. So it's a trip, but it's working so
yeah,
far.
Man.
The talent pool is crazy here. The artists are so good. The people are so dope. Yeah, and the studio is pretty well received so far. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You hear about it from quite a few people.
Yeah.
See if Roger has some time.
Feel
see
pretty
if Roger
blessed, man.
Has some time. Roger. Roger did it! You hear that sometimes. First I ever heard your name was in the song Cops and Roger.
Oh, sick.
Kirk's song, yeah.
Yeah.
He was showing me the video. One of the first guys I met here was Kirk.
That's awesome.
And he showed it to me, and I'm like, man, I wonder what happened that night. Was it, like, freaking wild? I'm asking him. He's like, well, I don't know. He wasn't there. I'm like, that was sounds so not what I expected when I came to the Kootenays. Right?
Whoa.
So what was that? Cops and Rogers is a song. If you can look it up online, it's an animated video too.
Cops be copping, I guess. I don't know. Just being black and driving home from a show. And I don't know. Yeah. I felt a little singled out that night. I won't lie. But it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't really imagine that. I've only been singled out as the young a guy that looks like he's probably drinking and driving.
Right.
But not because of anything else in this country.
Yeah.
Right? It's got to be because you went in Vancouver and you're broken in. You're like plowing, opening the door to the scene in Vancouver of all places, which is like known for it now.
Right.
Because of you and those guys. So has it always been a struggle like that?
I mean, there's moments, let's say. It's usually not so bad. But there's been moments. And that was kind of one of those moments. And it was just, you got to laugh it off. I mean, what the fuck else are you going to do? But, we wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
And made a video.
It's great, too.
And, it's kind of cool. It's got, like, my old, like, 63 Nova little station wagon in it and stuff. We're all driving and shit. It's animated. It's cool. That was fun. The Addits were a good band that we formed right when I got to the Kootenays, and like, yeah, what a cool time that was.
Yeah, they're still going.
We had a good run. Yeah,
it's
they're still
good.
Going. They're killing it.
Killing it. And you come to the Kootenays, and it's not, and I think, I don't know, this is what drew me as well, is here you're, doesn't matter who you are, you're nobody. And also you're everybody's somebody. So
yeah.
I can't quite, I've been working on this since I moved here, which is just over 5 years.
Yeah.
Just about 5 years. And because some people leave immediately. They can't take it for more than a month to 6 months. I have friends that came here. They
right.
were like, this is the coolest. And then they're back. And I'm like, how was it? Oh, I don't know. Like, and I think that's what it is. You have to get in touch with yourself because everybody's
right.
somebody. And everybody's like Nobody. No one cares. But everybody cares. It's who you are. And like when you're talking about drive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. You do have to... You have to, it's fun, again, referring to that same interview with Sean, but you have to insert yourself here and
there it is.
Put the foot forward, I guess. And then, yeah, it's kind of like you discover this crazy world that exists in the Kootenays and like all the crazy people in this scene, all the love and shit. It's dope. It's cool. I'm wearing the Phil Gunther shirt right now, which is shout out to Phil. But literally the first show the Addicts played was in Weimar. And it was at the Weimar Hall, and I pull up, you know, and I'm still really new to the Kootenays, and there's like dogs everywhere and like just dirt bikes in the street and shit. I'm like, where the fuck is this place? What, this is wild. And yeah, I'm playing the show and I'm like beating the crap out of the drums. I'm feeling the vibe, the energy's good in the hall and shit. And Phil's on the side of the stage. I hadn't met this dude yet. And his energy was just so infectious. And I'm playing, hitting the shit out of the drums. My cymbal stand falls over. He literally dove on stage and grabbed it. And he's like setting it back up and like tightening it and stuff. I'm like, this guy is money. He's just so dope. And yeah, it was like literally kind of my introduction to the whole thing. And it was like, I'm like, yes. The feelings were right. The Kootenays are good, and I'm glad I made this move. So
I have how I went. The Kootenays might be all right. It's Phil as well.
That's crazy. Because
I did this jalopy parade, and so they were leaving to go up these 13 ugly cars, and Phil grabbed onto the back of a van with a skateboard and just towed himself up the hill. So I got this photo, that's when I went, oh, that's... Like, that's against the rules.
Mm.
But man, he didn't even think twice, and it's so cool. No one's gonna say a word.
Yeah.
And he knew it.
You're in the Kootenays now.
You're in the Kootenays now.
That's so dope.
Grab a van.
Nice.
You're in the Kootenays. Get yourself a van.
So sick.
If someone asks you, this is probably my last real band question, is if someone were to ask you, like, what are some of the bands around the Kootenays, what are some that you'd say, like, to come see?
Yeah, man, honestly, I can't think of one I couldn't say to go see. It's crazy, man, like, and in so many different genres too, right? Like, everything's well represented out here. It's really cool.
Yeah, like Defied in hip-hop, and in punk you got
you got Depth. You know, you got your boy Ian Tonino now, who's like Junk. He's rocking like worldwide, which is really crazy. Yeah, it's cool. You got like tons of like R&B and soul and folk singers. You got like Sarah Orton and Aline,
Renee V.
Yeah, yeah. Like, man, there's so many. It's really crazy. Renee, who you also interviewed, Rusty Tone, sorry. They're doing like crazy moves. We're doing an album right now that's sick. Yeah.
With Rusty?
Yeah.
That's the Rusty Tones album?
It's so good.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, and then like, yeah, there's such a good component of like heavy shit from Rad Dog to like Toaster. It's wild, man.
It's really wild.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I think, look, if you're thinking of someone with drive that pushes the envelope and makes you have to get your recording equipment out, it's Rusty Tones, right?
Yeah.
They will make you have to say, I got to capture that.
It's true, man, you know, and to do it in an honest way and, yeah, make it sound honest and real.
Have you ever had to say to somebody, watch out or I'll slap you in the mouth, and then slap them in the mouth or anything similar?
It's not really my production approach, per se. Yeah, no.
One more time.
No, I take more of the psychological route, I think. Yeah.
No fisticuffs.
Yeah, you know, maybe reward him with like cookies or some shit. I don't know.
It's way better.
Yeah, figure out their vices. Yeah.
That's science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Motivation, man.
Yeah. I think there's a time in people's lives, and in mine, I avoid conflict. Like, it's just ingrained. And when it comes to violence, I'm like, when? But that trigger is in me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in hockey.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't play hockey, man. I'd be somewhere else punching something. Because that got it out of me. And then when I snapped, I got to snap and pay the price and get back out.
That's why I play drums, man. Yeah, hit them hard. That's why I ride dirt bikes. It's like better that than running someone over or something. I don't know. Mm. Yeah.
Something. What's the secret to serenity?
Same things. Yeah, I got to get that shit out of me. You know, whether it's like playing a crazy set on stage or like getting up in the mountains and sweating it out or like, yeah, that generally works. Shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nature has a way of reminding us, like reminding me anyway, like you're not that. You're going to be here very long. But
yeah, we're all pretty insignificant, really. For real.
Yeah, really. It's fun. It's boggling to me. I grew up in a cult-like atmosphere. So it's okay. I'm just waking up still, it feels like.
Yeah.
Into the world of, like, that tree. It means something.
Yeah.
It's not just there for me to cut down and turn into something. It's not, right?
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, is how a lot of kids are raised these days, is to look at a tree as their tree.
Mm-hmm.
As a piece of land is not mine yet.
And oh, man.
No, man, it's a real...
Yeah, I don't know. I find a lot of value in so many things like that, you know, and just value in, like, old things. This building, for example, built in 1912.
No way!
You know, and like... To a lot of people, like, they would just tear these buildings down. There was another one down the street that just got torn down. I don't know. I like getting old things and rebuilding them and bringing them back up to snuff, you know, and, like, valuing what it is, what it was. Like, I don't know. There's stories in all this shit, and it's really cool. It's the same with, like, restoring an old amplifier or old drum kit or something, and that shit's all around us here, right? Yeah, I really dig it. I literally just bought a vacuum cleaner off Marketplace this morning that was like from the 50s, I think, and it's like the best vacuum ever.
Oh, it works.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's super sick.
Let's see if it's going to work now.
Yeah,
is it an Electrolux?
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
I had used someone's Electrolux when I was at one of my jobs to clean up. I was like, what?
Yeah.
100 pounds of beauty.
Oh, I know. And these rugs, like, I had one next door, and it's like, nothing cleans these rugs better. And then I saw it on Marketplace. I'm like, hey, the studio's got an Electrolux now. It just makes sense. I'm like, he's going to walk in, like, right when I'm vacuuming these floors, and it's going to make good B-roll footage or some shit. But,
Who's worse, Spotify or Mussolini?
Ooh. Ooh. I think they're cut from the same cloth, really, man. And it's a tough one, dude. Like, all these streaming sites. Again, like I was blessed to catch the tail end of that old music industry where, like, everything was tangible. You know, you buy, like, a product and you can hold it and open it up and read, like, liner notes and shit and look at pictures and stuff. And, like, again, value, man. There was something to that that just doesn't exist anymore. And... you know, music's been devalued so much now, and none of these streaming sites are helping, like Spotify or any of the other ones. But it's like, what do you do though? Because, like, it's really the only avenue to get your music out these days, and it's like dancing with the devil. I don't know. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks.
It doesn't feel tangible to buy a record online.
Yeah.
And then to buy a record with a record, like an actual record,
well,
you got to have setup.
Yeah.
And to buy a CD, not everyone makes CDs. So, you know, for me, I'm like, what am I going to buy? It's a t-shirt. So people buy a lot of t-shirts.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Even that profit margin, it's like, it's not great for the artist. But it's at least it's something, yeah. You know, and it's direct, you know, farm to table, if you will. Like, you know, artist to fan kind of deal. So
yeah, you know, and online, like, I do this, all this for free. This costs me money because why am I doing it? Same reason you do a lot of things for free.
Yeah,
because it's worthwhile. It's fun for me. It's great.
Well,
and then when I just had someone approach me on Instagram to collaborate, And then they put out their prices.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm like, it's not how I roll, though. Like, surprise. No, man. But I'm not gonna take your money, and I'm not gonna start charging anyone anything because, hey, I'm coming to your show here.
Right.
Tip in. For what?
Nah, man.
Something I want to do? Doesn't seem right sometimes.
Well, that's just it. And especially, like, you know, going back to, like, when we were first making records and how we all work together and shit. And it's like, that's how scenes get made. And I've seen that in action many times. And it's like the collaborations of like many great people, that's what makes shit happen. Mm. And so you're right. Like giving back and like throwing down and doing shit for free, like all of that, like, you know, so important to these scenes. And it's like really the lifeblood. That's why all this shit still exists.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's really succinct. That is why it still exists.
Yeah.
There's that Rascals record right on the wall.
Hell yeah.
Nice. And Mussolini, man, he hopped on a train too.
For real.
Freaking Spotify is exactly the same to me. They just come in, they're like, hey, we're gonna join the bad guys now.
Well, now they're like farming all of the music that is posted on Spotify. It's in their terms and conditions, but like they're literally like analyzing everybody's music and then making AI music from it.
I know.
It's fucked up. So
you're not gonna go see an AI band, and what's the
it's
point
like,
of
how
listening
could this
to something?
Get worse? Well,
here, how can we make this worse?
Not only do you get paid pennies or fractions of pennies, but yeah, like now we're gonna like completely like model all of your shit and put it out and collect streams off of that, which is gonna in effect lower your own streams and listeners, you know what I mean? So,
and here's the thing about AI. Evil. I was looking at listening to John Cleese talk about where creativity comes from.
Is not a talent. It is not a talent. It is a way of operating.
Everybody has it. Doesn't matter if you have high IQ or low. It's whether your ability to find that space in your mind to stop. Maybe I'll play that clip after this podcast. But how's AI going to do that? Because it's all based on what humans have created. So they're just going to be derivative.
Yeah. Which, I mean, in effect, that's what music is. It's all derivative. Like,
yeah, true enough.
There's only like, you know, the 12 notes or whatever, like, and you can only make so many combos of chord, you know, structures and whatnot. So it's all kind of been true. Done already, but it's putting your personal spin on it. And it's just, to me, like, you know, and people ask me, like, am I worried about the whole AI thing and like taking over and making music and shit? But people are always going to want the human experience, whether it's at a live show, whether it's here in the studio, you know, people always going to want to like get together with friends and pick up instruments and play shit and like make shit together. You know what I mean? And then go and record that. So they have that recorded as history in a part of their life. And yeah, that's always going to exist. So
since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
First person started hitting a piece of wood and went, oh yeah.
Yeah, and then someone's like, oh, check this out. Check do this out. On top of it. Middle,
middle, me. We're out here in the middle. Oh, yeah, this guy. What's that sound?
Right?
It's the first hip hop.
So, you know, I think we're okay. We're going to be okay.
I think when you look at this scene here in the Kootenays and how no one's making it rich, but everyone's having such a fantastic time, that time trumps it all.
That's what
saying. It takes precedent over, you know,
yeah.
Because you get a satisfaction.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. So dope.
Here's a real question for you. If there were two animals drowning during a flood, one a kitten, one a puppy, which one?
Oh, 100% the puppy. Sorry, cat lovers. Oh my God. I'm such a dog person. Yeah. Yeah. Dogs are my favorite. Yeah, rip my boy Manny. But yeah, they're the best.
Dogs.
100%.
They keep showing up. My dog keeps showing up. Man, not kittens today,
nice.
Buddy.
You know, it's tough because you said kitten. Like, that's like uber cute and all. But yeah, it's got to be the dog.
It's got to be the dog.
Yeah. The kitten would probably claw me too, value? Right? Like, put his little fucking closet in my hand, like, while I'm trying to save it. Like,
yeah, just grab onto the dog's leg.
Yeah.
Save yourself. That's what a cat would do.
Yeah.
What's one of the best shows you've ever seen live? Or some one, or a performer who you definitely go and see him whenever you can?
Oh, man. I'm going to name a couple. One was The Roots. And this is, like, right before Lauryn Hill went solo. And at the time, everyone just kind of knew them as The Roots. And it was like, they performed and she fucking just crushed everyone else. Like, and everyone just, everyone in the room knew it. It was like a small, like, intimate club too, which was so sick. But like the whole room was just like witnessing like history, you know what I mean? And it's like, this is nuts. And this person right here is so electrifying and so like, what the fuck's gonna happen next? And then, yeah, sure enough, she went solo and it was just like, okay.
That's crazy. Yeah,
that makes sense. Saw Jane's Addiction during Nothing Shocking Tour, and that was like mind-blowing at the Commodore in Vancouver. Unbelievable. I was just a kid and like, sold out. My homie, he was kind of a baller dude, and he had me and four friends. We were back in the alley where they're loading in with like the buses and shit. And I thought at the time, like, I'm like, I think he gave the bouncer like 250s. And I'm like, whoa, this guy's so baller. Really, like, you know, it wasn't really that much money, but like, bouncers like, follow me. And we went all up the stairs and got in through the back. And yeah, it was such a wicked time. That was a sick show.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was at the dope. Commodore.
Yeah.
Can't really beat definitely, that.
Definitely, you know, Jane's at their apex kind of deal. Like, yeah, super good.
And intimate. You got to see him right there. And then go back, sneak right in.
Yeah.
Would you rather eat a pound of lard or listen to the world's worst sound for an hour?
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Well, I listen to the world's worst sounds quite often. Because, you know, not all these bands are good. I guess I'm going to take the worst sounds because that's my job. Unfortunately, I get paid to do that shit.
Yeah, that's true. You must be a bit different. There's the most annoying sounds, and then there's your ear detecting.
Yeah.
And then you just say, hey, good luck.
They're like, what'd you think? I'm like, oh, it's really something. Yeah. Yeah, super good.
You captured it. All right, I got one more here. What are your favorite things to do around the Kootenays?
I think I already said it.
Yeah, you did. You said motocross.
Yep, dirt bikes, snowboards, snow bikes, drums, guitars, basses. Yeah, recording all of those things and playing shows.
What's something that you would change in the world as well? What would something you'd say you're all powerful? All powerful, man. For 1 minute, and you're like, pew, I'm going to change one thing. I think about this all the time, and I can't come up with the one thing for me. I got like freaking 10 things, but.
Oh, man. I don't want to be selfish, like. But I think I'd be on the side of all the musicians around the world, you know, and create a better, like, ecosystem and something that's actually viable that people can make livings off of. But there's bigger problems, really, I think.
But I think that's a good step to solving a lot of bigger problems.
Yeah, I mean, it probably would, really, because music heals. That's what they say.
That's what they say.
You know.
That's what science says.
So yeah, there's that.
They say music and weed.
I like those things. Those are both
great. And extreme experiences.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Roger, for taking the time to sit down and record our voices together. You are a legend, whether you want to admit it or not, and you are a fabulous human being. I'm going to play two songs now that Roger helped create, produce, record, and perform in. And I'm going to have this John Cleese talking about creativity in front of Dreaded Fist by the Rascals, and followed by the Addits, Cops and Roger. Until next time, keep ripping.
Creativity is not a talent. It is not a talent. It is a way of operating. Say a way of operating. What I mean is this. Creativity is not an ability that you either have or do not have. It is, for example, and this may surprise you, absolutely unrelated to IQ. Provided you're intelligent above a certain minimal level, that is. But MacKinnon showed in investigating scientists, architects, engineers, and writers that those regarded by their peers as most creative were in no way whatsoever different in IQ from their less creative colleagues. So in what way were they different? Well, MacKinnon showed that the most creative had simply acquired a facility for getting themselves into a particular mood, a way of operating, which allowed their natural creativity to function. In fact, MacKinnon described this particular facility as an ability to play. Indeed, he described the most creative when in this mood as being childlike. For they were able to play with ideas, to explore them, not for any immediate practical purpose, but just for enjoyment. Play for its own sake.
First before my verse, made Buddha bless you, cause he blessed me. In form of smoke from a tree with abilities to summon powers of the dreaded fist. As a lyricist, to the world as a terrorist, so from a distance. You see shrapnel and debris, and in an instant, you got to recognize it's weak. Black belt dapper dance to the eighth degree. The champion is me, red one. Cause I be the all veteran, me as the all veteran. I'm betting on with the knowledge to make moves strong and abolish. Terrorizing tracks like Genghis Khan, we be the rawest. Artists from Northwest Saigon, and that's word to the uplifted fist of the dread clear. Cutting MCs like McMillan Blodell. So go tell a friend and so on, the movement of this dreaded fist no longer will be slept on. Dreaded fist of the Northwest, gotta be cautious how we exhibit our style to the people. Lethal doses leaves comatose kids. To match the fist, there is no equal to this.
A way where words is chosen right to explain. Poetry in my motion, coasting in and out of range. To maintain, I switch up the timing. Keep surprising line by line, a continuous jabbing at that syphilis. Or to your pressure spot, I pinpoint with the index finger. Inject and let the rhyme linger. Lyrically do a numb in the ring. Physically the champion of welterweights in my division, and still inching to get better. Somehow, someway, maybe this dreaded fist will meet its match someday. So then I stay, and with my words I don't play, though I faint and patiently wait for made mistakes.
Slip back hot to a fighting position. Slip me in the chamber. Cock it back, toss me instrumentals, and watch me bust on that. They must on crack, wanting their wigs flip back, cause I we run this, and it's a well-known fact. Never miss, all veteran and specialist. Wrestle with the best, please, you can't handle this. It's too scandalous and dangerous for those trying to be framing us, enslave us. Lining up our anuses and bust, but I don't think so. Who the f*** you think this is? It's the rascal red one, baddest in this rap biz. Rap with the misfit, I get the beats off of chemo. Stay frozen, opposed like B-boys at Bendetto. Rock like metal, plus we heavy on the pedal. The chosen to rule over the bass and the treble. Bulldozing, blown blows at those who be posing. They scared cause they know we eat the mic like corrosion. Dreaded fist of the Northwest, gotta be cautious how we exhibit our style to the people. Lethal doses leaves comatose kids. To match the fist, there is no equal to this. Gotta be cautious how we exhibit our style to the people. Lethal doses leaves comatose kids. To match the fist, there is no equal to this.